Welcome into the Fan Pregame Thursday afternoon. A little baby Friday action. Happy Thanksgiving to our American listeners and supporters and friends and my former teammates. All turkey trotting today. You didn't know what that was.
I mean, I figured it out fairly quickly.
It's right in the name.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Americans love a turkey trot. So they get up, they run a 5K, and then...
It's a guilt thing. They feel a little less guilty about what's to come. I should have been turkey trotting. I would rather trot afterwards. Might be more difficult.
Oh, God, no.
Well, that's how the Europeans stay so slim. It's they walk after every meal. That's,
yeah, but this is a run.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Steps. Steps in general.
It's like swimming.
Not everybody's running.
No, that's true. It is American Thanksgiving. We're going to do a little NHL look around because we all know the stat. If you're not in it now, you're probably not getting in it in terms of playoff picture. We're going to have Matt Marchese join us in about 10 minutes to go through the Canadian side of it. We're going to do a little Canadian look in and then a bigger picture at some of the playoff odds. Playoff picture if it were to start today. There's some good matchups if the playoffs started today.
Sure, yeah, there would be. I mean, the U.S. Thanksgiving thing, like, it's definitely real. Like, we got the numbers to back it up. But, like, let's just look at the standings here, and you tell me where things aren't correct. Okay, we're in the Central Division. Teams in a playoff spot. Jets, Wild, Stars, Avalanche. That's who you probably expect,
right? That's pretty good to me,
yeah. And the ones on the outside looking in, Blues, Utah, Blackhawks, Predators. Other than the Predators, no real surprises there. Mm-hmm. Pacific Division, Golden Knights, Flames, Kings, Canucks are in. Mm-hmm. There's one surprise there in the Flames. Oilers, Kraken, Ducks, Sharks out. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, other the Oilers.
There's one outlier there for sure. We go to the Eastern Conference, Maple Leafs, Panthers, Bruins, Lightning. Same old cast of characters.
Same old, just a little different order.
That you would expect. It is a race there, though, with the Sabres right on the heels of the Lightning. And then the Metro, Hurricanes, Devils, Capitals, Rangers are the teams that are in and the teams out. Flyers, Blue Jackets, Islanders, Penguins. Mm. It seems like everything did normalize by U.S. Thanksgiving as we are promised every single year by certain insiders.
The insiders know. We're going to open our text line. Very interactive show today. We don't have much going on, so we want to hear from you. What is the biggest surprise throughout the NHL season thus far? Is it a team that Justin just named that's on the outside looking in? Is it a player performance? Let us know. 590-590, standard message and data rates apply. We can get to those throughout the show. We're going to talk to Matt, as we mentioned, and then a second block will be kind of an open segment, so we'd love to have your participation. And if you're American, thanks for picking us today and choosing us over some of the other things going on in the world. Okay, so let's talk about what we think is some of the biggest surprises so far in the NHL season. I mean, where do you want to begin?
Well, I think we should probably start with the Jets.
Oh,
I'm a Jets guy. I mean, we're talking about the best record in the league. We're talking about a team 3 points clear of the Hurricanes for the number one record in the NHL. And it's a little surprising in that, yeah, they kind of crashed and burned in last year's playoff, but they come back. They have this great start. They got a new coach. The team is relatively the same, maybe even slightly diminished with the likes of Sean Monahan moving on, but they are a wagon. And maybe it's slowed down just a touch, but they've been really, really good. And I just wonder what that means moving forward here. Are they going to be a really aggressive team ahead of the deadline? Can they keep up even close to their pace that they have right now? You mentioned it. They're still the 10th shortest odds to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
despite running away right now.
Me.
Not running away, but at least running away with the Western Conference point total at this point. Again, the President's Trophy would be theirs if handed out today fairly comfortable. So what's the disconnect there? Like, why is there not a belief? Do they need to do something before the trade deadline to capture that belief? And yet when you talk about additions, this is a team that's kind of fully saturated and concentrated with its talent, right? They're one of the deepest teams in the league. So what does it mean if you bring in an addition? Yeah, you can always stand to make improvements, but does that throw off the mix in some regard? Again, this team isn't faultless. They've certainly showed that they can lose games here a little bit lately, but the Jets are among the chief surprises for this season. And I think they're one of the bigger points of intrigue coming down the stretch here.
Yeah, and a really positive part of that is maybe the Canadian Cup drought that we talk about every single year. There's a lot of, when you mention the teams that are in the running to be in a playoff spot, probably feel pretty good with a good chunk of those teams being Canadian teams, hopefully having an opportunity to end that drought and to bring the Cup back to Canada. So the Jets certainly maybe A1 for a lot of people their surprise. They've kind of slowed down a little bit, but they're still leading the way in terms of points in the NHL, seeing how that one continues. I think, like, looking at the stats in terms of just the league's top point getters, there's a surprise in almost every segment of it. Leading the league in points is Marty Natchez for the Carolina Hurricanes. I think that one itself is a really big surprise, followed by Kirill Kaprizov right behind him. So 37 points, 35 points. Nathan MacKinnon, pretty much a staple in there. But Jack Eichel having a really great year, 34 points. Kucherov always in there. Sam Reinhart did not show any signs of slowing down from last year. Mikko Rantanen and Dylan Strome, I think, is a huge surprise for a lot of people, what he's done in Washington with and without Ovi. He's he's got 31 points already to start this season. Draisaitl and then Cale Makar being the top 10 in points, like a little bit different than maybe the last couple top 10s we've seen. It's nice to see a little bit of sharing the wealth around the superstars.
Yeah, it seems like a bit of a strange late bloomer kind of season manifesting itself. And again, Reinhart's been really good since he got to Florida, but Dylan Strome is certainly among those almost 10 years into his career and just getting the most out of his game now. Martin Natchez has been around for a long time. He's playing at close to a Hart Trophy level. I think some people would argue that he is at that level right now, which is definitely a departure from the norm. And I guess, you know, we've seen Connor McDavid miss time. Austin Matthews has missed time. There are some guys that you expect to be really, really productive who haven't quite held up to that standard. But yeah, there's a bit of a shift in terms of the dominant individual talents in the NHL right now. And it is creating a different set of storylines and something else to dig into. I think with the Hurricanes specifically, it's interesting because they've been without superstars, right? The Hurricanes have had so much success without having that real dominant force. Sebastian Aho, of course, has been one of those guys, but they've still been missing something. And if Marty Natchez is suddenly a superstar, well, that's what they've been missing, that high-end scoring and production ability that can carry you through a playoff series. I'm definitely interested in the Metropolitan Division and the Natchez effect, in that I see the Hurricanes always as this gatekeeper type, and maybe with the Rangers taking a step back, there isn't that team that can bust through that gate, and maybe they're moving the goalposts a bit with Marty Natchez's emergence and the Hurricanes just being such a dominant force still in the Metropolitan Division.
We got a lot of texts coming here. 590-590 standard message and data rates apply. The biggest surprise of the NHL season. I'll throw a couple at you here because people are eager to share a lot of answers about the Calgary Flames in a positive way. You know, being underdogs of everything. This is one here. We're the underdogs of everything, even Alberta. Our team is playing like it might be their last contract in the NHL because it might be cup or bust, Calgary forever. Here's to Costco's glove wrist shot. I think there's a lot of excitement around Calgary, specifically with Dustin Wolfe and how he's been playing. And, you know, he's one of the, like, emerging as one of the front runners really for the Calder, and they've had their ups and downs. We've talked about how they've had disappointing ends to seasons, but this is something where it felt like a blip for the beginning of the season. We talked about it, then they had a little bit of a dip and they're back in it, and they're playing consistently, at least keeping themselves in the conversation. Let's hope that this is real, because it's always better when Calgary's in the picture. You know, the Battle of Alberta is one of the best of all time. And so a lot of people saying Calgary is a surprise in its own right.
Certainly, the text is right. They are the underdogs even in Alberta, despite having the second seed right now in the Pacific Division, with the Oilers currently seeded out of the playoff picture. And the numbers are the numbers, right? Like, most teams in playoff positioning right now hold on to that over the course of the last 4+ months of the season, but there are always a few who drop, and the Flames look like the prime candidate to drop in that there were so few expectations for them to start the season. But you do hold on more often than not just because the numbers say so, but because there are a lot of 3-point games, there's a lot of loser points. You can bank points if you're just a team that plays a certain style that is routine and predictable, and you do it over and over again. But the most strongest point when accumulating points maybe you shouldn't or you weren't expected to is high quality goaltending. And you mentioned, if Dustin Wolfe continues to play like not only a Calder Trophy favorite but one of the better goaltenders in the league with some of the best numbers in the league, then that's going to carry you to a point total that you weren't expected to get. So if I was guessing, I still think the Oilers overtake someone in the Pacific Division, probably most likely the Flames, but the Flames are in a position right now where they just have to kind of keep scrapping away, picking up points, and they can hold on to it because it is hard to give up. It's harder to make up ground. It's hard to give up too much ground, too.
All right, keep your texts coming. We'll get to them throughout the show, but let's bring in our one and only guest of the day, Matt Marchese, the Fan Hockey Show, joining us. Matt, we appreciate you jumping on, saving the day for us. Happy American Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I know. The holiday that the Americans definitely do better than we do.
They do a few things better. I was thinking about this before. I mean, I lived in America, I think they're better at fast food. I think they're better at big box stores. Like, they have lots of great big box stores. I would say they're
better. You got a list handy.
Yeah, I wrote some down before this because I was going to ask you.
Okay.
Their flight costs within country are better. And their Thanksgiving is better, and I will take any more suggestions, but, you know.
Oh, there are quite a few things.
We're better at a lot of things.
We probably shouldn't go too far.
But we're better at a lot of things, but, I mean, they can have those things. They're not, like, that cool.
You don't want to get kicked out of this country, do you? Like,
no.
You gotta slow down with the list a little bit.
Yeah. Boy, you guys are upset about big box stores?
No, I was going to go.
Flight prices?
I'm a little upset about flight prices. Like, I should be able to go to Vancouver
the
same way that,
fact.
You know, someone in Boston can get to Chicago
Philly.
With the snap of the fingers, at least it seems. But that's how they operate. Like, they do sports better than us, let's be honest. Like, not necessarily competitive sports, but just, like, the
college
atmosphere
sports.
Around sports, the energy put into sports is definitely at another level. But, like, all the institutions, you can go to school here, there. Like, we don't have to go down the road. They do a lot of good things, including Thanksgiving, really well.
Yeah.
Okay, that's enough about them. Let's talk about Canada. And we're going through some of our Canadian teams here. We were going to do this with you in terms of some of our, I guess, like, talking points at American Thanksgiving. Obviously, we know that American Thanksgiving is the time where you're on the outside looking in. But let's start with the local team because they had a game last night. Obviously, we were working that one first person at 590 The Fan as well. And a big question that I know Kipper and Bourne were talking about as well, Kipper wrote a great article for the Toronto Star, was how important winning the division is this time around. Right now, they're at the top of the Atlantic. This is something that traditionally they don't actually succeed in. But, like, should this be the main focus for the Maple Leafs this year to try to right the ship in terms of the poor playoff fortunes of the past, win the Atlantic, hopefully get a better playoff matchup?
So it's interesting because I've been saying this. For the Leafs, some things have to be different, right? So we're seeing the style of play is different. We're seeing just the tenacity in games, the physicality, all that stuff is different. What else would be different would be winning the Atlantic Division, and that's something that we haven't seen. So I think it is kind of important because it also gets people to stop talking about the playoffs for half a second. But at the end of the day, we know that nothing is going to matter unless this team gets out of the first round. And so, but winning the Atlantic is something that this group has not done yet. And so that's why I look at it and say, yeah, that should be important. That should be something that you strive for. And maybe you don't have to play a team like the Florida Panthers or the Boston Bruins, who I still don't think are going to make the playoffs, but, or the Tampa Bay Lightning. Maybe you can get, you know, a quote unquote easier matchup in the first round so that you can get some momentum and get into the second round and have something going for you. It's been a lot of the same. It's like everybody complains about, well, the Eastern Conference and specifically the Atlantic Division had Toronto, Boston, Florida, and Tampa. And it's like, okay, so how do you stray away from that? Well, finish first, maybe be the first overall seed in the entire Eastern Conference, and then you can get that easier matchup like the Washington Capitals were last year for the New York Rangers. I don't know who that team is right now because it is still early, but that would be different. That would make things a little bit easier as you try and progress in the playoffs.
Indeed it would. It's important, but again, we saw a reminder last night that the order may be restored, at least in terms of the balance of power in the Atlantic Division. The Florida Panthers were really good last night, and the Maple Leafs were shorthanded, but it did feel like the fastball that the Maple Leafs haven't historically been able to catch up to. With the Oilers and U.S. Thanksgiving, like, this is a familiar position, right? They were on the outside looking in last year with that horrific start. But you look around at all the teams in the playoff picture right now, like, it's the usual suspects except Edmonton. Clearly, having overcome it last year, they can do it again, and they're only a couple points back, game in hand. But it does feel like the slow start is something that's not, like, pre-planned, but not necessarily something they're shying away from. How in control of their fate do you think the Oilers are, being on the outside looking in again at U.S. Thanksgiving?
Well, I mean, you should always be in control when you have the nuclear option of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. But the problem is that it's almost as if their playoff run masked a lot of issues that were really deep-rooted. Like, their penalty kill was fantastic in the playoffs last year. They went, what, 13 or 14 games without allowing a power play goal. And then everybody's like, okay, everything's fine. Stuart Skinner was fantastic from game seven of the series against Vancouver onwards through Dallas and then into the final, where they were within one goal of sending game seven to overtime. All of those things have reared their ugly head again because the penalty kill is not very good. Their defensive unit is not very good. Imagine a team would be clamoring for a guy like Cody Ceci at this point in the year, because that's a guy that they would probably use right now. And then you look at the goaltending and it's just been a bunch of inconsistencies after another. And so they're in control because I believe that there is a deal to be had here. Whether it be moving assets like picks or prospects, they know that they're close. The other thing that they have is, and I don't know how movable it is, but they have Evander Kane's contract that they can move as well. They have done a good job of managing their cap to this point. I know we can talk about the offer sheets and whatever, because they could probably use Philip Broberg right now too. But you look at how they've managed things. They put themselves in a position to at least consider going out and getting a defenseman, because that's what they need. And a top four defenseman right now in this market with a very thin UFA group of defensemen coming up, plus, you know, you want to pay for a defenseman that has term, it's going to cost you. I think the Oilers have some assets that they could maybe make that happen. Because at this point, when you have Connor McDavid, who he's going to re-sign there. Leon Draisaitl, everybody says, oh, they're not a package deal. I can't imagine Connor McDavid saying to Leon, you know what, by the way, I'm going to take off. So your window to win is open, but you're just coming off of a Stanley Cup appearance. Much like the Florida Panthers did last year, if you can acquire a defenseman that can, you know, slot in guys in certain spots, because they don't really have a four, they have a few fives and sixes, probably more sixes than fives. So they have to go out and get that guy. But I think they have the ability to do that. So I do believe they're in control. They're going to score again, and they're going to find a way to, they're going to find a way to get by, because that's what happens when you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. They're going to mask a lot of issues because they just score at an incredible clip, which we're seeing again this year.
Yeah. McDavid has 16 goals. Draisaitl has 11. Bouchard has six, and the rest of the team has four or less. So secondary scoring, definitely also an area that they should circle heading towards the trade deadline and beyond. Okay, I want to ask you about the Jets, because we know they had the best start in NHL history, but they have the 10th best odds to win the Cup. What gives? Where's the disconnect between the team that is leading the league and the team that is 10th best odds to actually bring home the Cup?
Betting markets. People don't like the pick, and so the markets
You think?
Will,
that's it. Nothing to it.
I do, because now I'll be... Full disclosure here, guys. I was not expecting anything remotely close to this. I thought Winnipeg was going to be battling for a playoff spot. But when you have Connor Hellebuyck in net, you always have a chance to win. Here's the other thing. Again, Kevin Cheveldayoff is one of those guys, and he said it on our program. Actually, Justin, he said it with you and not with me, and he's probably thankful, because every GM that comes on my show, their team goes into a skid after. So you're the good
you're
luck
cursed.
Charm, and I'm not. But Kevin Cheveldayoff said, as you know, I listen to my team. My team tells me what to do. And right now they're in a position where the team is telling them, you can go out and acquire players again, much like they did with Tyler Toffoli and Sean Monahan and Colin Miller last year. They're going to go out and make some moves. What I would like to see, because I really like their forward group, I like their depth, and they have four lines that look very different. So they're throwing different looks at you every single chance that they get. Their back end is where I have a little bit of an issue. Dylan Sandberg has been really good, but he just broke his foot on a Steven Stamkos slap shot. Josh Morrissey is fantastic. Like, I have Josh Morrissey on my team Canada. Neil Pionk is in a contract year. He's playing well also. And they've had guys that can fill in, like a Colin Miller, who's a good fit there as a six. But honestly, if you can go out, again, much like the Oilers, even though Winnipeg is much better as a team defensively and they have, you know, that guy in net, it, to me, if you can get a top four defenseman in the Winnipeg Jets, you have put yourself in a great position, because I don't think they need a lot. When you can take chances both offensively and defensively, you're rewarded when you have good players, and they've been rewarded so far for doing that, but they're also structured well enough. Whether it be the previous teachings of Rick Bowness or now Scott Arneil, who's probably a front runner for the Jack Adams, they've put themselves in a position where it says, okay, we can go out, we can do a little tinkering on the fringes, maybe get another defenseman, you know, as a six or a seven, just as a depth guy. But if we can go out and spend some solid assets to bring in a top four defenseman with term, that's something that really works. Because here's the other thing. Winnipeg going out and acquiring unrestricted free agents or pending unrestricted free agents like they did last year with Toffoli and Monahan is not something that they do. They like to acquire guys with term or guys that they know they can re-sign, whether it be Vlad Namestnikov, whether it be Nino Niederreiter. Like, those are guys that they have been able to keep around. Are they going to be able to do that with an unrestricted free agent coming up? Maybe not. It's not something I don't think they want to get too comfortable with, because they have to draft and develop to keep guys. So getting a guy with term, I think, is probably at the top of their list on the back end. And if they can get that, I don't see why they can't be considered the way that they've been playing to be one of the contenders in the Western Conference.
Last one for you here, Matt. You got about 2 minutes or so. Montreal is an interesting case. Like, I feel like you get slapped on the wrist a little bit every time you criticize the team because, you know, Martin Saint-Louis, like, he's, you know, what is he going to do? He's still a young coach. He's still got a young team. And it's like, oh, they don't have Patrick Laine. There's a lot of excuses, right? Like, too early to criticize Slavkovsky even when he's on a fourth line. You get the slap on the wrist because they're supposed to be in this position. And yet, last in the Eastern Conference, no real progression, a lot of negative storylines that are, again, they get slapped away pretty quickly. But, like, where are you at on just their build here? Is their build in a place where it's healthy still?
The players that they've brought in, whether it be via the draft or via I think they're okay roster-wise. And there's some guys coming. We could talk about Lane Hutson, who's going to be a fantastic defenseman. Caden Gooley is really kind of turned a corner. I think Caden Gooley is going to be a really good defenseman as well. And you look up front, they've got Suzuki. They've got Caulfield. They've got Slavkovsky. You could go down the list. There's some good players there. And they've got Demidov coming, who's going to be fantastic. The fact that he fell to Montreal in the draft was great. But I will say this. My issue with the Montreal Canadiens is I have not seen enough growth. And part of that growth is there's a lack of accountability. And Martin Saint-Louis and the team talked about, you know, having fun going back to the rink again when he took over this team. But the fun is over now. We need to see some progression. And I outlined it on the show on Monday. So Vegas, Montreal on Saturday night. And you look at how Montreal, not only did they not respond when they got scored on, but they all ultimately got worse as the game progressed. Slavkovsky, a bad turnover in the zone. And then there was another Jaden Struble turnover. There was another Kirby Dach turnover. And there's just a lack of accountability because these guys are making egregious defensive errors, something that takes effort and not skill. And they did not miss a shift. So if you're trying to prove something and you want accountability, they need to be there has to be some consequences for their actions. I feel like I'm talking like a school teacher or a parent, but that's what it has to be because these young players have to learn. I think one of Montreal's biggest issues is that they don't have a veteran player that is among their best players right now. Somebody that's been in the league 10 years plus, like a Claude Giroux. I keep going back to Claude Giroux with Ottawa and how great of a fit that he's been there because he's still a guy that can put up points. This is not a slight against the work ethic or effort from guys like Brendan Gallagher or David Savard or Josh Anderson. This is about young players saying, oh, that's how you do it at this level, whether it be offensively or defensively. And they don't have that guy. Patrick Laine can come in. He's still not going to be that guy because, let's face it, Patrick Laine has his defensive warts, and we don't know what he's going to be like coming back from injury. So for me, if Montreal wants to take a step forward, we could talk about roster build. We could talk about, you know, Samuel Montembeau has not been great since that, 50-save performance against the Maple Leafs on opening night. I don't think all of that is his fault. I think part of it is the problems in front of him. But I just think there's such a lack of accountability. And you could put Slavkovsky on the fourth line. Okay, that's window dressing. But sometimes guys need to sit down. Look at no further than the Philadelphia Flyers and sitting down. Matvei Michkov, look how he's played since. Travis Sanheim was a healthy scratch at points last year. So was Joel Farabee. And guess what? The Philadelphia Flyers, they do not get beat in the third period. They're a tough out all the time. That's what Montreal needs to be.
Maddie, we got a break. That was a great answer. We got to go to break, but we'll get more on the Fan Hockey Show tomorrow with you and Futes. We appreciate the time, sir. And we'll chat again soon.
Thanks, Maddie.
All right, take care.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back on the Fan pregame.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Fan pregame, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. For the next 30 minutes, we're going through a little bit of a pulse check on the NHL at American Thanksgiving, kind of the check-in point for many.
We're told it's important.
It is important. So important. There's a really great article by our friend, Justin Bourne, about U.S. Thanksgiving. It was a couple days ago on Sportsnet.ca, but one of the pieces of information I'm going to steal from him to share with you is that last season, only three teams that were out of the playoffs on U.S. Thanksgiving got in. It was the Islanders, the Predators, and the Oilers, who we know obviously went to one win away from winning the Stanley Cup. So that was last year's picture. Right now, if the playoffs started today, we'd have some really great matchups. It'd be Florida-Boston, which, you know, maybe Boston isn't very good right now, but I still think that would be a pretty spicy matchup. It'd be the Devils and the Capitals, the Hurricanes and the Lightning, and the Leafs and the Rangers, which I'd be happy about currently. I'd be happy to have a different opponent to play against the Maple Leafs in the first round of playoffs, but you never really know about those Rangers, especially when they have this inner turmoil. What does that spark on the West?
And they've had trouble scoring goals, and Igor Shesterkin, despite the Rangers' struggles, would
he
be
is still really great.
Considered difficult to score on, yeah.
In the Western Conference, it'd be the Wild and the Stars, the Jets and the Canucks, which would be awesome, and the Vegas Golden Knights and the Avs, and awesome. Flames and Kings.
Yeah, so
I think I like them all.
I do. I mean, as much as people bellyache about the playoff format, like, we generally always get great matchups, so I'm not really worried about getting great matchups. We're going to get really good matchups, but I think we should start a bit of an exercise here, because you just mentioned Borno's piece. Mm-hmm. Islanders, Predators, Oilers, Buck the Trend became one of those unlikely teams to make the playoffs based on their seeding at U.S. Thanksgiving. If we were going to pick three teams now, who would they be? And again, we just kind of laid out who's in the playoffs, but probably important to look out who's not in the playoffs. So Atlantic Division, Sabres, Red Wings, Senators, Canadiens on the outside looking in right now. The Sabres are only 1 point back of the Lightning. I think we pencil them in as one of the teams because the Sabres have played really well. They're going to get Tage Thompson back here. I think if there's
at the
anyone.
At expense of who?
Like, I think Bruins could fall out, certainly. I can't really see the Lightning falling out, but I think it's possible that the Sabres make it. They could also kick out the Rangers on the other side of the bracket. That's a possibility as well. So Sabres penciled in as a possibility.
I would love the Sabres to be in the playoffs. I think it'd be awesome. Is there a way that they end up playing the Leafs too?
Yeah, there's definitely a way that could happen.
Because I think that would be absolutely fantastic.
It would be very cool. Okay, so the Metro then. Flyers, Blue Jackets, Islanders, Penguins on the outside looking in. I don't really want to pencil anybody in in that group.
Let me look.
Move on.
Flyers, Blue Jackets, Islanders, Penguins? No.
We'll come back if we have.
Can we relegate some of those guys to the AHL?
No, I don't think we can.
Okay, next. West?
Central Division. Blues, Utah, Chicago, Nashville.
Let's talk about the Blues for a second.
Okay.
I think
Blues are only 3 points out of the playoffs.
And Jim Montgomery has been doing something real great with this team since he took over.
Two points out.
If I was going to pick a team on the outside looking in, their playoff odds are only 7%. I wonder what their odds are to make playoffs, like, betting wise. But
7% seems unbelievably low.
Oh, that's what Sis said in our doc, and I trust Sis.
I sometimes don't, but
Sis dog, is that right or wrong? Can Montgomery turn things around? This team did this before in St. Louis, not with him, but Berube. They had the whole Gloria thing.
Sure.
I don't know. I could see something fun happening.
I'm not writing them off yet. They got 11 wins in 24 games. They certainly have a better coaching situation now. Robert Thomas will be back eventually. I think the Blues are in a decent position to potentially get in. So Sabres-Blues would be my number one and two at this point. And then you're looking at the Pacific Division. I think we both agree that the Oilers are going to find a way to make the playoffs.
Yes.
So our teams then, Blues, Sabres, Oilers to make the playoffs. As it stands now, they're all on the outside looking in.
Okay. This is
sounds like a parlay to me.
This is fun. I'm going to look that up right now.
Speaking of betting odds,
Wait, so here, I can tell you right now. The Sabres to make the playoffs, plus 200. Name some other names. Who else was Blues. In there? Blues to make the playoffs are plus 340. And yeah. Oilers minus 800. So I think they're onto that one.
Yeah, that doesn't add much to it. But yeah, that would be a decent price on those three things happening. But you mentioned, you know, the Jets and the disconnect. And it depends on where you look, like how short the odds are on the Jets to win the Stanley Cup. But they are not given the credit, at least in the betting market, that they've earned from a points production standpoint to this
point. Which doesn't make sense to me. Why doesn't it make sense? Elite goaltender.
Okay.
That's an important staple on your checklist to win a Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Great defensive play. Strong defensive play.
Yep. I'd agree with that.
Depth up front.
Certainly have that.
They have some goals. Maybe they don't have like the premier goal scorer. Well,
Scheifele and Connor have been really right up there in terms of goal scoring this year.
When I read all the stats, Kyle Connor's looking like he's right in the mix for a couple of awards. He's got 28 points, 13 goals. So I don't know. A market that has improved themselves? Is that it? That puts you 10th in the odds?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's part of it. It's the appetite to bet them is what shapes the market in some ways. But I think the most interesting thing about it being at the range it's in, and again, if you look around, you're going to find a shorter number, depending on what book you're hitting, is that there's not like an obvious collection of favorites or even one single favorite. Like, yeah, you could have a great record, but there are other teams that are just, you know, right behind that have proven it on the postseason stage that maybe won a Stanley Cup or been to multiple Stanley Cups or are just clearly ready to win despite not being able to match the record due to maybe injury or just some goaltending concerns or whatever it may be. But I look around the NHL, I don't know who the favorite is. Like, I can't really pinpoint a collection of even five truly elite teams that separate themselves from anyone else. I mean, the shortest odds are the Oilers. They're out of the playoffs right now.
Compared to what I just, sorry to interrupt, but I just looked at the NBA odds and their shortest odds are two to one for the Boston Celtics.
It's not like the NBA at all, where there's clearly, that's actually the perfect example because the Celtics have the shortest odds. The Cavaliers have the best record in the NBA, and I'm sure it's relatively short, but it's not the Jets situation where it's like, yeah, the best record is, it belongs to Cleveland, but clearly Boston is the best team in the league and the likely title winner. I look around the NHL and I just can't find the obvious team that's going to win the Stanley Cup or have reason to have really,
the NHL
really
got what they wanted.
Short odds. They have parity.
Parity.
But is that a problem? Because
no, again, I think it's fun. I like this. I like this right now because it really feels like for the first time in a while that it's anyone's cup to win. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's early enough in the season, but we're getting a sample size that's a quarter of the season. We've seen injuries plague a lot of these teams. Some of them have found their way through it. Some haven't. We've already seen our first coaching firing and hiring. We've seen goaltenders go on unbelievable streaks. We're seeing rookies really emerge. Like, I think there's enough sample size to kind of feel like maybe we just don't, maybe this is the year that anyone could win. Like, if you look at those top 10 to 15 teams in the NHL, like, I think you could make an argument that they could get through a few rounds. So I think that's fun. You look at an MLB and it feels like the Dodgers are going to run the table for the next 4 or 5 years, right? So definitely. Maybe this is the time where your team can really win. Everyone's hooked.
Definitely there's that incentive too. Like if you're, again, the NBA is not the best example here, but if you're the New York Knicks or the third, fourth place team in the Eastern Conference, you look at it and like, should we go all in here with Boston? Looks like this perfect
team. It could be a silly trade deadline.
Yeah, but there's what? It seems like there's 15 teams with a realistic chance, at least by the betting odds, shorter than 25-1, which is crazy. And all of them probably think they've got a decent chance to win. Or you're like the Rangers and you're pulling your hair and freaking out because you want to trade Chris Kreider, given that you lost a couple games in the row. It just seems like it could really set up for something pretty wild because the playing field seems really even right now. It looks like anyone in playoff position has a decent chance of making a real run this year.
I wonder if that means that when the trade deadline does approach, which I think the other day I saw it was 100 days away.
Okay.
So less than that now. I wonder if that means that the team who acts first, whichever team decides, like, all right, you know, we're in that top 15% of teams that could win the Stanley Cup. We're going out there early December and we're making things happen. We're starting this. It might just be dominoes falling. And then the regret for some teams in the postseason that thought they were in it that weren't, or teams that thought they were out of it that really just needed three or four more points to go on a hot streak. Like the Buffalo Sabres at the beginning of the season were awful. Mm-hmm. And I was disappointed because I have a lot of friends that are Sabres fans, and they're diehard Sabres fans. And it just felt like another year for them where they just had no hope. And then they went on this little winning streak, 3-4 games, and they're right back in the mix. So, you know, that, not to say that it's false hope, but it's optimism can maybe cloud the judgment in both ways, in the right, in the wrong way, where you think, okay, we're not even close. And then you go on a couple wins and you realize you've missed the boat for some of these really great trades that you can make, or vice versa, where you think you're in it and you go on a little bit of a slide and there's no hope for you. Like the Washington Capitals are an interesting one. Like in this stretch here without Ovi, you know, they're way down the odds to win the Stanley Cup. Do I think the Washington Capitals are going to win the Stanley Cup? No, but they're in a playoff position. They're having a great season. It feels like it's more than just Ovi. It feels like there's more depth than they had before. They're surprising a lot of people. What do they do at the trade deadline, right? What do they do in this period of time where there's no Ovi? Just tread water and, you know, see what happens when, if
hasn't been that way yet.
No. And that's,
I mean, we watched one of the most egregious goalie goals of all time.
We didn't even talk about that.
With Charlie Lindgren, maybe the most backbreaking thing you could imagine.
And they found a way.
And then the Capitals just turn around, score twice, and win the game in regulation.
I actually think that might have been the most egregious hockey play I've ever seen.
But what a galvanizing moment. Like, you already have a lot of belief in that room. And they are absolutely feeling themselves right now.
This is hard to
watch. But to overcome this moment where your goalie,
where was he going,
has one of the worst blunders in history of the position, man. And you still win the game. Like, they are feeling it right now.
Yeah, they're unstoppable without Ovi.
And when you're in that position, you're without Ovi, you're winning games, you're having such a great year. Yeah, you look around the landscape. Of course you're going to add before the deadline. I can't see a scenario in which they don't. So I think there's going to be a lot of belief all across the NHL, partly because there is no clear and obvious standout. But with that said, if you had to choose a standout, let's say you have to go, we'll add some teams to this, but you have to go to war with one team right now.
Wait, out of people on the outside looking in, or
no,
in general?
Just to win the Stanley Cup. Like, who?
Oh, Justin.
Who jumps off the page for you? Like, it's just gut instinct. Who do you think is most likely just in this, I'm putting you on the spot, to win at this moment?
Carolina Hurricanes?
Carolina's that's a good choice. I'd say Florida. I would say Florida.
Yeah. I think that those are pretty fair. Florida looked really great last night, very motivated. Mm-hmm. They've got good goaltending, even though Bobrovsky's been a little bit suspect as of late. But they've got like that killer, I don't want to say killer instinct in this market.
Like, they do have killer instinct.
They do have that killer instinct. They've got like just a cutthroat nature about them. But it's every year people pick the Carolina Hurricanes, and every year they're like the analytical darling, right? Everybody loves the underlying numbers and this and this and that. But when you look at the production that they've got from Natchez, Aho, Svech, like those three guys alone are putting this team on their back. I think the main question is their goaltending duo or trio. Like, if they can find a goaltender in the trade market, or
can they survive
this period
where they don't have healthy goaltenders?
Because I think, what is it, all two or three of them are injured.
At least there's top two.
I thought it was interesting listening to Kipper today on the Fan Morning Show, and in his latest article on Charles Starr. He could also put it on Sportsnet. He said that the Leafs are like widely viewed right now as having the most depth of goaltenders. So is there somebody in this, could whatever, how many is they, got five maybe?
They run at least five
quintuplet
deep. I'm not sure if they have a six. They run at least five
this
deep in terms of guys.
Of goaltenders, yeah. That there could be something
you
there.
You want to give one to Carolina though?
No. I'm
not
just,
give, but do you want to make that trade?
No, I don't. I'm just
you
saying
you can meet them in an Eastern Conference.
The
final.
Leafs have never been in the spot where they're the king of the castle with all the goalies.
Just enjoy it for a while. Don't.
But I'm
don't
just
give
saying
up that
there'll be goalies available to trade.
Maybe about
Shelovs is probably getting the short end of the stick in Vancouver in a few minutes when Demko comes back.
Sure.
I don't know.
Maybe he's in Carolina.
Carolina needs a goalie, and then I'm ready to jump on the Caniacs.
Okay. I'm into that. I think that's a good pick. I still go Florida, despite like the roster's certainly not the same. They'll have the opportunity to add. They've got the motivation. They understand how to win.
Both our
teams
are 10-1.
There you go. So what we could do here, and this is kind of what I'm getting at, You want to add two more teams to that? You're going to have your little three-pack, and I'll have a three-pack.
I love that.
And then you could shop the prices here, and you could give yourself a pretty good situation over the last couple months to leading into the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Give me the Hurricanes and the Jets.
Okay, you're taking the Jets. You got them at 18.
I got them at 18. You got your Panthers at 10.
I'm keeping my Panthers.
You go next. I feel like I've
stolen. I want the Jets too.
Oh, okay.
Not the Oilers?
No. I already got one Canadian team. I'm going to ride one Canadian team. What about the Wild? How do you feel about the Wild?
Wild are interesting. I think the Wild are, in some ways, Carolina West. In that I don't believe they have enough to truly win. And again, Carolina...
But there's a trade deadline coming.
It's not saying Carolina
hungry trade deadline.
Carolina might be different this year, but I've long believed, and I said it in the first block, elite level gatekeepers, you got to be really good to beat them, but they are tending the gate. They're not going to the Stanley Cup final. That may be different this year. The standard may have changed. Wild, though, are a little lower. Like, not elite level gatekeepers, just good gatekeepers in the Central Division. I think they might be better than that this year, but I still think they're times to come because they got all the money coming off from Parise and Suter. They're still so talented. I think they just set themselves
might
up
be ahead of the schedule,
for success in the years to follow. Like, again, if I could buy a stock in the moment this NHL game or NHL season ends, I probably will do so. I don't quite think they can win the Stanley Cup. Could they go to a Western Conference final? Yeah, I do believe that's possible. But Dallas and the Avalanche right behind them are going to make it difficult. It's a really, really tough division. I still
even
think
with the heart... The leading heart candidate
potentially
in Kaprizov.
It's only one guy, though.
I know.
And they got a lot of guys, but I don't know if they have enough guys.
Okay, so
I'd still go Oilers. Because right. I do think they can make kind of some transformative deals. They're going to have the appetite to do that. I think they're slow playing a little bit in the same way that Florida is, but it's a little sloppier than what we've seen from Florida. I mean, the Oilers were really impressive on the run to the Stanley Cup final last year. And again, this is all in. This is chips in the middle of the table. This is no half measures. The Oilers are going to be doing everything possible to put themselves in a position to win the Stanley Cup, to go to another Stanley Cup final. And I think they have one of the easier paths, at least in terms of the division. That said, they go in the wild card and they get transferred over the Central Division. It's going to be quite the gauntlet to get through. So I think my three would be Oilers, Florida, Winnipeg.
At the Where are you at with the Dallas Stars? I'm still shopping my final pick because I know that they've had a few of their stars underperforming so far in terms of like just getting on the score sheet, names that we would expect better from. They've got Jake Ottinger. I want a team with a good goalie. Like, I just need that safety and security. But I think that they would be a team that'd be hungry to add. I wonder, they were one of the favorites coming in. They still are. Where are we at with Dallas? They're like 11th in the league in terms of points.
Yeah. For me, it's felt a little stale. Mm. I'm not really sure why. I think it's predominantly the back end. Like, they lost Ryan Suter, and that's not a big deal necessarily, but I don't know if they upgraded, right? Like, they cut bait but didn't actually put someone in position where you get to benefit from that real change you made where you thought you had a weakness that you solved, but you didn't really slide anyone in there. I mean, we're looking at their defensive pairings right now, or I am, Esa Lindell and Miro Heiskanen. Yeah, that's a pretty good defensive pairing, but it falls off after that with Thomas Hurley and Ilya Labushkin, top 4 minutes, Brendan Smith, Matt Dumba. Matt Dumba's more name value, I think, than actual substance at this point. Like, I don't think that's a really good back end, and I think that's partly the reason why they're struggling in the way that they are. But they're also one of those teams that, you know, they have all these young guys, but they also have the aging core. They're trying to bridge two different generations. And if they don't have guys like Jason Robertson going, you're missing something between Duchesne and Sagan and Ben. You're putting a lot on the shoulders of Wyatt Johnson and Logan Stankoven. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not going to fit perfectly in terms of having, you know, the older guys and the young guys kind of meet in the middle. I'm sure they're going to be fine.
All right,
I expect them to be very dangerous in the playoffs, but I think they probably got to add a defenseman. That seems to be a common theme among a lot of NHL teams.
Your three-pack were Oilers, Panthers,
Jets.
I'm going Jets, Canes, Maple Leafs.
Okay. Why are you bullish on the Maple Leafs?
We cover this team really closely. The question marks that I think that they still have in terms of center depth. That can be addressed at the trade deadline, and I feel great about their goalie tandem. So great about their goalie tandem. One of the best in the league. I feel great about the defensive additions they've made, and offensively, they've been able to find a way without Austin Matthews over the last stretch when he comes back, and Mitch Marner's feeling good about himself, and Tavares doesn't look like he's as old as he is. The amulet's working. You got Willie Nylander playing wonderfully. Like, I really think that if I'm throwing darts, 13-1, I like my odds here. 13-1 Leafs, I got 10-1 Canes, and 18-1 Jets.
There you go. You can sort of divvy that up and you get yourself a good price there. If I had five, if it's a five pack for me.
We have other things to do here.
If it's five, I might go Leafs. Like, I think there's a lot of reason to be bullish on the Maple Leafs. Clearly, we're seeing a diminished version lately here with all the injuries piling up. There are some cracks here that they may have to
address. If they win the division, I think things will look really nicely for them.
But they kind of got the spine going, right? Where you got the shutdown pair, you got the goaltender, got center ice depth.
I've got the skeleton of what I want, and that team has it.
And you only really need one addition to make it all kind of come together, right? We talked about the idea of going to three lines. If they can have a Austin Matthews line, a Mitch Marner line, and a William Nylander line where one of those lines isn't trying to drag around Pontus Holmberg and Nick Robertson, I think they're going to be in a really good position. This team has turned into a very strong defensive group, team defense-wise. Maybe it's not brand names on the back end. Maybe they don't have a number one defenseman in the true variety. Their goaltending, though, is good. Their team defense is good. And when they're healthy, they should be able to score goals if they're running three lines. I think the Maple Leafs should be in most five packs.
Love that. I feel good about my picks. Okay.
Florida's a tough task.
We are going to wrap up here quickly, so I got two more things for us. Who wants to win a bunch of cash while doing the best thing this holiday season? It's Sportsnet 590, the Fan's 50-50 Fortune, supporting food for kids, and here's what you need to know. We've created a 50-50 lottery where the more money we raise, the more kids we can feed in the GTA, and more money you can win. The current take-home prize is over $300,000. Someone is going to win that jackpot on Thursday, December 19th. And if you get your tickets early, there are more amazing early bird prizes, including two sports packages. One is a pair of tickets to an upcoming Leafs game, one of my teams in my pack, and a signed William Nylander jersey. The second is a pair of tickets to a Jays game and a signed George Springer jersey. You can get your tickets by Friday, December 6th at 9 a.m. for a chance to win. For more details and to buy your tickets, go to foodforkids5050.ca or text the word cash to 59590. We'll just send the link right to your phone. It's the 5050 Fortune supporting Food for Kids. Standard message and data rates apply, Ontario only. I can't believe it's $300,000 already.
That's big money.
Let's do it. One other team I think is going to win it all this year is my best bet, PWHL Toronto. They are the shortest odds, but plus 225. I think they had the best offseason, they had the best draft, and they have some of the best players in someone like Natalie Spooner, who's going to come back in a little bit. But they are hungry for revenge. They had a just horrendous end to their season, and they are going to come out with a vengeance. And this is a short season, and I think that you get on it before it's minus money, folks.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to parlay that with all your – with each member of your three pack.
I love that.
Build some big prices and just put it all on the scepters.
Now I'm big on the seps this year.
To take it home for you. Another football game later today on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. The Dolphins historically don't do well.
You think two in cold weather?
The Dolphins don't do well in cold weather. But I think that's just kind of a product of, hey, you play really good teams.
Interesting.
In cold weather in January. It's not January yet, but they play most of these games in January. We saw them against the Kansas City Chiefs really struggle because it was colder. Is that because Kansas City was about to win another Super Bowl? I think the latter. I think the Dolphins can keep this close. Their offense has been spectacular of late.
Risky one.
Tua, when in under center for the Dolphins, has made the Dolphins look really good. I like the Dolphins to keep this close. Plus 3.5 is a, I think it's a gift. Should be 3 in my opinion.
How about those Bears today?
Matt Eberflus for a reason.
Was that worse, that play call at the end, or putting the puck in your own net for the Washington Capitals? Probably later.
I think it was the lack of timeout.
Chance.
Yeah.
It's the goal in
one's
your own
a blunder,
net.
One is a reflection on how good of a football team you are.
Whatevs. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a happy Baby Friday in America.